unusual powers. So it's a good topic on our ghostly day of October 31st. Hina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening today, giving us your Tuesday. We hope you'll be back tomorrow. And please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
When the party is Progressive over. Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Democrats in Congress couldn't believe it. They were working out the details of a bill to double the budget of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, put a rich bounty for whistleblowers to claim, and multiply the penalties against businesses by 700%. Acting Commission Chief Nancy Nord said, no, thank you.
I don't know what planet this woman's living on.
Senator Harry Reid. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called for her resignation. The White House says draconian measures against American businesses are not what's needed to fight it. President Bush's nominee for Attorney General, Michael Mukasey, told senators he didn't know the answer to one of their questions, but would endeavor to find out. Told him that twice.
This answer is not going to please Senate Democrats and could put Mukasey's confirmation in doubt. New York Senator Hillary Clinton today said she opposed him, and key Democrats who earlier said they expected to support Mukasey have been saying they would wait first to see how he answered what they consider a simple question. Is waterboarding torture? They wanted a written answer because at the hearing he said he didn't know. Now, 2 weeks later, he's saying the same thing.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The new chief at Veterans Affairs is expected to be the much-decorated retired two-star Army General James Peak.
President Bush is nominating retired General James Peak to head the big department that's facing wartime pressures. Peak, a 40-year military medical veteran and former Army Surgeon General, knows all about the challenges.
The disability system is largely a 1945 product, 1945 processes.
If confirmed, Peak will confront a system facing an influx of veterans with physical and emotional wounds from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
State Department says no, they did not give immunity from prosecution to Blackwater security personnel on the hot seat over a fatal civilian shooting incident in Iraq in September. Spokesman Sean McCormick.
The State Department cannot grant immunity to individuals from federal criminal prosecution.
From the court in Los Angeles comes word Britney Spears gets 3 monitored visits a week with her 2 small sons, while they've ordered her to childproof her home and work out a schedule for those visits. A video game you might want to think twice about handing over to your child. It's called Manhunt, a game that teaches how to kill.
And when you come across somebody in the game who's between you and where you need to go, you can use a syringe or a shovel or a sledgehammer or a shard of glass, and you're carrying out those physical actions with the Nintendo Wii controller or using the Sony PlayStation 2 controller.
CBS's technology correspondent Daniel Seberg. How do you tell people I went hunting and got shot by my dog? It happened to James Harris out in the fields near Iowa City looking for pheasant. Crossing a fence, laid his shotgun on the ground, the dog stepped on the trigger, blew a 4-inch hole in his leg. Don't know the dog's name. There were too many of them being muttered, to be sure. Wall Street, the Dow down about 77 points, NASDAQ off a fraction, and oil was down below $90 a barrel again. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm a Han F3 office chair. Why F3? Well, because I'm funky, fresh, and friendly. Actually, I have no idea. Probably some marketing thing. But come here, take a seat on my oh-so-stylish frame. Feel that? Yeah, that's my Alira stretch fabric back, conforming to your every move. You know, we could be doing this every day. You, me, maybe a spreadsheet or two? Think about it.
The F3 chair from Han. Designed with fit, form, and function in mind. Visit GetHan.com. GetHON.com. Han. Smart now, smarter later.
Taking care of business.
The power of color helps your message stand out in a crowd. Now only at Office Depot, Xerox Certified Print Specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, banners, business cards, and more. Right now at Office Depot, save 20% off a purchase of $20 or more of any color copy, including posters, signs, or banners. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing the power of color to your message. Offer expires 11/10. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Going green is more than a new age idea, a misty-eyed tree hugger's dream, in Seattle at least.
Seattle has cut greenhouse gases 8%. The Kyoto Protocol goal was 7. Now, 60% of that goal was met by changes at Seattle City Light.
An electric utility that has zero net greenhouse gas emissions. That means when you flip the switch, you are not toasting the planet.
Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels says the work isn't over. Greenhouse gas emissions from transportation sources are projected to spike by 2012.
KIRO's Jim Valley is in Seattle. All together now on the latest university study, why is it that watching 4 hours of television a day might lead to higher blood pressure for an obese child? Right, they're sitting, they're not exercising. Fact is, obese kids who watch 4 hours or more of television a day have three times the risk of high blood pressure as those who watch less than 2 hours of the boob tube every day. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Reason number 17 to switch to Geico. This is just your way of saying hi. If you love motorcycles, you need to call Geico. Because now Geico offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Great rates, great coverage, and personal service 24/7. Call anytime, 1-800-44-CYCLE, or visit geico.com.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're here. We've got a lot to talk about over the next 3 hours. I hope you can listen to the entire program or as much as humanly possible. This hour, we're going to talk about the nation of Pakistan and its desire success in developing a nuclear weapon. There's a new book out called Deception, Pakistan, the U.S., and the Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons that really provides great detail about the proliferation network attributed to A.Q. Khan, K-H-A-N. In Pakistan, they would say Han, the K is silent. But A.Q. Khan is the man credited with being the father of the Pakistani nuke. And if you recall, just a few years ago, he was disciplined, at least in the eyes of the West. They took away his job. They put him under house arrest and said he's responsible solely for the proliferation of nuclear technology to other nations. There's a new book, This Deception, and co-author Adrian Levy will join us a little bit later this hour. Right now, we're standing by to talk with Professor Hussein Haqqani, who's been on our program before. He's over at Boston University, and we want to get his thoughts on the return of Benazir Bhutto to Pakistan. It occurred about a week ago, and of course, you know, on the parade route from the airport to her ancestral home, or I don't recall exactly where she was going, there was an incident with car bombs and suicide bombers, and 140 of her supporters and bodyguards were killed in that event. We'll get some commentary on that coming up in just a moment. Also on the program today, a man came out of the shadows who is incensed that Mike Gravel, the former senator from Alaska, is not invited to tonight's debate that's being broadcast on MSNBC from Philadelphia. Gregory Chase describes himself as a hedge fund fellow And he ran an ad in the San Francisco Chronicle and perhaps other newspapers today challenging NBC to reinstate Mike Gravel, along with all the other Democratic candidates, in tonight's broadcast debate. And in that, he offered NBC a choice. He said, I'll either buy $1 million worth of advertising for Mike Gravel, or I'll just pay you $1 million in exchange for the service of allowing Senator Gravel to participate in your debate. We're going to talk with this man coming up about an hour from now and find out exactly why he supports Mike Gravel and what kind of reaction he's gotten to this unusual offer. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org returns. We're going to talk about the Dems and their efforts to cut the funding for the war and actually change the White House policy. And we're also going to talk about immunity for Blackwater shooters who were involved in the September 16th events at Nisour Square in Baghdad. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Minority Leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is getting some heat for his use of earmarks. That's when, you get some pork and deliver it to your state or district. And we're also going to get an update on the Brent Wilkes trial. He is the guy who, Duke Cunningham went to jail admitting that Brent Wilkes bribed him. And now Brent Wilkes, with Mark Garagos as his celebrity attorney, is trying to beat the rap as being the man who bribed Duke Cunningham. We'll get the update from Melanie Sloan. That is ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're having a little trouble getting a hold of our first guest, Hussein Haqqani. So as we're waiting to connect with him, I wanted to just cite an article in today's New York Times about the return of Benazir Bhutto to Pakistan. And she is a very controversial and, in the eyes of some, a very polarizing figure. She, of course, is the daughter of Bhutto, who was the prime minister of Pakistan. And he was unseated by General Zia, who then executed Mr. Bhutto. And Benazir was prime minister in the 1990s. And she's been in exile in England and has just, as you know, recently returned. But it is certainly stirring up a lot of intense issues there in Pakistan. And so that makes it all that more difficult. And as we're going to discuss with Adrian Levy here, it looks like he's going to join us in a couple of minutes because we can't reach Professor Haqqani. The story regarding the development of Pakistan's nuclear weapon and the role played in it by General Musharraf and by AQ Khan is a fascinating story, and it involves various levels of deception, including right here in the United States. And so for me, it's really hard to separate the political rhetoric and phony charges against Benazir Bhutto from what may be actual problems. So, for example, as the New York Times points out, her brother, Murtaza Bhutto, was gunned down by police in Karachi in 1996. And at that time, he was challenging her, so the brother was challenging the sister, who was the sitting prime minister, for control of the political party, the Pakistan People's Party. And some people even suggest that Benazir Bhutto arranged to have her brother killed. Now, I find that very far-fetched, but I've never been to Pakistan, and I don't know the issues in depth, and so I can't really say. Likewise, the husband of Benazir Bhutto was accused of fraud and corruption before they went into exile following the coup by General Musharraf. And so, as you can see, it's murky. The charges and countercharges swirl left and right. And for those of us at a distance, it's very hard to tell who's wearing a white hat, if anyone is. So this is a fascinating set of issues. And in the book Deception, the authors make the case that if the U.S. following 9/11 was going to attack anybody, that it considered to be a real threat to the safety of the region and the world, it should have been Pakistan. And that's something that I have felt for a long, long time. I regard Pakistan as a much more dangerous player in that region than Iraq was under Saddam Hussein. So it's a very interesting set of issues, and I want to recommend this book, Deception, to you. I'm going to pull it over here, because I found it fascinating, and I attempted to speed read it, and it was just too well written to permit that. Adrian Levy is joining us now. Welcome, sir, to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Well, and thanks for jumping in early. We were trying to reach Hussein Haqqani, but apparently he is unavailable for us right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's a really good speaker.
Well, he is, and he plays prominently in your book. So let's take a moment, Adrian, to talk about him. He was an advisor to the Nawaz Sharif government, and he was also an advisor to Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah, he's not only been a prime ministerial advisor, but he's also been very close to, at one stage, when he was younger, very, very close to the Pakistan military and to the intelligence establishment. And he really does understand the inner workings of the government. And I'm sure he's doing a great job down in Boston where he's teaching now.
Mm-hmm. And he has a brother who is still active in the military in Pakistan, am I right?
He's got many, many connections, all of which are fascinating. And he's actually written, although it's not my job to plug him, he's actually written a very useful academic book between the mosque and the military. And in a sense, it's the crux of the conundrum that we find ourselves in now with Pakistan, where we think we've got an ally in Pervez Musharraf, but the military's connections to the jihadis and to al-Qaeda and to the Taliban has simply been making things worse and worse, whereby the country's practically ungovernable. And I think Hussein identified that quite early on
Carnegie Endowment.
Apologies, with the Carnegie when mm-hmm. he wrote that book. And, of course, he wrote it at a time when he was looking... In a sense, he was looking into the future, and that is absolutely what's happened with Pakistan now, the manipulation of extremism creating huge instability.
Indeed, and there's a lot I want to talk with you about. I'm fascinated by the coverage you provide in the book, and I commend you and Catherine Scott Clark on the detailed work and the great historical context that you offer for the situation that we confront today. Do you say Levy or Levy?
Levy's fine. Yeah.
Okay, I like to get it right.
And, okay.
I'll call you Levy from here forward, Adrian. Thank
okay,
you.
Sure.
And tell us a little bit about you and Catherine. What's your background and what brought you to this story?
Well, we had worked together initially as foreign correspondents in South Asia, but also reporting from the Middle East occasionally and the Far East in China, initially for the London Times and then for The Guardian. And I guess we've been doing that for something like 10 or 12 years based out of India and Thailand. And during that period, we developed close contacts within the Pakistani military, among Pakistani politicians, within the Indian military and Indian political society as well. And those contacts grew with us, and it suddenly became... We've kind of all reached critical mass, if you like to use that expression,
mm-hmm. which
may be slightly inappropriate with a nuclear story, but in the sense that we had access to people who had trusted us over a decade, and they all kept pointing to this story and saying, we should come back to it, and it hadn't really been done justice, and that if your listeners remember, in 2004, there was a famous televised confession where Abdul Qadir Khan, A.Q. Khan, the mm-hmm. so-called father of the bomb program,
right.
put his hands up on PTV, Pakistan TV Live, and said, I did it all. I ran a proliferation program single-handedly, and me and a group of scientists were responsible for what is the worst proliferation crime of our lifetime. And all our friends and contacts kept saying, this is wrong. You know, there was a deal cut here, and A.Q. Khan was simply an emissary for the Pakistan military, and you should look at the story. And so that's what actually got us going, and we began mm-hmm. to peel back the story. Both in the U.S., using the U.S. Freedom of Information Act to get access to State Department telexes and cables that were formerly classified, and then in Pakistan, going to the people who actually work with Khan, the mm-hmm. Khan network itself, getting to the people who are very close and with the military themselves who ran that network.
Well, let's pause for a moment here. We play commercials on this program, so let me get a break out of the way, and then I want to delve into the fascinating book that you've co-authored, Deception, subtitled Pakistan, the United States, and the Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. Adrian Levy, co-author of the book, is with us, and we'll take your calls if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Gilroy's on the bus headed south to meet up with North Salinas this Friday. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 24 minutes into the hour. Our guest this hour is Adrian Levy. He is co-author of the book called Deception, Pakistan, U.S., and Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. And this is a powerful book. I can wholeheartedly recommend it to you. Adrian, just a couple of quickies for listeners getting oriented about Pakistan. This is a country with a long history of military-dominated rule. It has flirted with various forms of democracy, but in my view, the military has never loosened its grip. And it is a police state. The ISI is its equivalent of the CIA. And you describe a situation where there are minders and tattletales virtually everywhere you turn. I'd like to go back to the 1970s when Jimmy Carter was president of the United States and when Pakistan was trying to respond to India's development of a nuclear weapon. And Benazir Bhutto's father, Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, was the prime minister at that time. And he approached, or through intermediaries, you describe Henry Kissinger, rejecting a proposal that the U.S. provide a so-called nuclear umbrella for Pakistan. And at that point, Bhutto cozied up with the Chinese and also responded to repeated interest from a Pakistani living in the Netherlands named A.Q. Khan, who badly wanted to come back to Pakistan and do almost anything for the government, including develop nuclear weapons.
Yeah, no, you've identified the critical period here. I mean, exactly, spurred on by India's test of its nuclear device in 1974. A couple of critical things happened, some by chance and some by calculation, all of them put into place by Benazir Bhutto's father. The most important thing, which has gone the least reported, is Pakistan's relationship with China. And Zulfikar Ali Bhutto decided to support China's lobbying to get on the Security Council, where, if your listeners remember, it was Chiang Kai-shek at that time who was the official representative. And the result of that campaign was that communist China got onto the Security Council, and China never forgot that campaign. And the result of that was literally unbounding generosity for free towards Pakistan. And without that, the acceleration of its nuclear program probably would not have been possible.
Can you just underscore that for free? Because
for free, absolutely not a penny paid. I mean, technicians on the ground, no bill. Fissile material given to get the process going, no bill. Blueprints written in Chinese, along with translators to translate them, you know, for free. And just to give you an idea of the rapid chronology, the man you mentioned, A.Q. Khan, the figurehead for the bomb program, all he'd done was he had exploited security weaknesses in a European project that was looking at experimental technology to enrich uranium, actually to fire power stations. And A.Q. Khan scooped up these blueprints, took them back home, but without the Chinese cash and the Chinese know-how and that support, the program probably would have taken decades to come into practice. And yet, he scooped up that information in 74, 75, and by 1978, they'd enriched uranium to weapons grade. By 1982, they'd simulated an explosion of their bomb on a computer, and in 1984, China took that bomb to its Lop Nur test site, the Pakistani bomb, and detonated it on the Pakistanis' behalf to show that the process physically worked. Mm-hmm. And one very important thing to remember is that by 1987, there were many Pakistani bombs assembled. All of them could be dropped from American-supplied F-16 jets. And yet for that entire decade, Ronald Reagan would certify every year before Congress and to the American people that Pakistan did not have a bomb and that American aid to Pakistan would prevent it reaching for a bomb.
And that American deception actually dates back to Zbigniew Brzezinski in the Carter years.
Exactly. The key change in emphasis, I guess we could say that until 79, non-proliferation, quite rightly, was a gold standard within government. It was a goal that everyone reached for. And yet in 79, when the Shah was forced out of Iran, right, and Ayatollah Khomeini came in, and the CIA lost its listening stations and a crucial strategic ally, at the same time, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan.
And we'll have to stop there. We'll pick up the narrative with Adrian Levy in just a moment. The new book is called Deception. Your calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by great-tasting, great-for-you Smart Balance Buttery Spread. And by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood. In the worst oil spill in U.S. history, the supertanker Exxon Valdez ran aground on a reef in Alaska's Prince William Sound, cracking its hull and spilling 11 million gallons of oil and fouling 1,200 miles of Alaskan coastline, killing hundreds of thousands of seabirds and marine animals. A jury in Alaska awarded $5 billion in damages to 33,000 commercial fishermen, cannery workers, landowners, native Alaskans, and local governments and businesses. But company lawyers got that reduced to $2.5 billion by an appeals court. And ExxonMobil has been fighting against paying the $2.5. Finally, after all these years, the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case. The story after this. For some time now, I've enjoyed this great buttery spread called Smart Balance. I love its buttery taste on account of nutrition it stands for. It's naturally trans fat free, has no hydrogenated oils, and it's an excellent source of ALA omega-3s. And Smart Balance's taste is so great it won the Chef's Best Award for Best Taste, awarded to the brand rated highest overall among leading vegetable oil spreads by independent professional chefs. So, if you're looking for a great buttery taste and a spread you'll feel good about, try Smart Balance. Hospitals know that safely refrigerating blood and vaccines makes the difference in saving lives, but how do you do that in the middle of a rainforest? That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what their customers will need so they can create the cutting-edge technologies to allow hospitals to run refrigeration units where no power grid exists. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved. Even after being cut in half by an appeals court, the punitive award in the Exxon Valdez case is the largest ever made. ExxonMobil is the largest oil company in the world and made a profit of $39.5 billion last year, breaking the previous profit record of $36.13 billion set by the company the year before. Lawyers for the plaintiffs argued in court that the damages award of $2.5 billion is barely more than 3 weeks of ExxonMobil's net profits. Even so, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen,
recent precedent and the court's conservative makeup are on the side of the oil company here, and I would not be surprised at all if the justices by the end of the term have done away with the damage award or curtailed it, and of course that would be a ruling that would help deep-pocket companies avoid big liability in the future.
The case has been dragging through the courts for such a long time now that many of the plaintiffs are dead. For the remaining ones, the Supreme Court stepping in is both good news and bad for them, says Cohen.
The bad news for the plaintiffs is that this court isn't likely to be receptive to the idea of big punitive damage awards. The good news is that the justices probably once and for all will resolve the issue and perhaps end the legal dispute that's nearly 20 years old.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour, we continue our discussion of Pakistan, its acquisition of a nuclear weapon, and its proliferation. Yes, the transfer of technology and materiel to nations like North Korea, Iran, Libya.
We never learned the tensions, taking you to taxes.
And for my money, the real danger zone is Pakistan. Not Iraq, not even Afghanistan, and definitely not Iran. Adrian Levy continues as our guest. He's co-author of this powerful new book called Deception, subtitled Pakistan, the U.S. and Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. Let's take a phone call. Steve in Watsonville, thanks for dialing. You're on the air.
Actually, my time on hold there, I got two questions, but the first one, which I told Brian about for Mr. Levy.
Yeah, the first one's free. It's $5 for the second
right
one, Steve.
The press is presenting Benazir Bhutto as being fundamentally pro-Bush, it raises a quandary in my mind. Like, Musharraf is pro-Bush, so, like, you know, who should we support?
All right. Adrian, you want to tackle that?
Yeah, I mean, I think by every objective measure, Musharraf has failed to provide anything of substance to the West and has actually not lived up to any of the deals that that he made both with the European powers and with the Bush administration. I mean, this is a man who promised he'd curtail radical religious seminaries, and they doubled. This is a man who proscribed 17 terrorist organizations, and they all changed their names and popped up again 15 years later. You know, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban reformed, were revived, have new money, new bodies on the ground.
And he pulled out his troops from the Waziristan provinces.
Absolutely. You know, made two secret pacts in 2005 and 2006, withdrew the troops, actually sat down with the Taliban, claiming that this was for operational reasons. And yet in that space, attacks on NATO, predominantly British and Afghan forces, increased by 160%. I mean, you know, we're in a difficult position here because Musharraf's methodology is to manipulate the jihadi factions. Now, Bhutto, that is not her methodology. And the problem we have here is that a deal has been stitched together. And it's a deal stitched together by America, predominantly, but also with some British input. And it's to give Musharraf another 5 years in power. The people of Pakistan are not our enemies, but they are sick of military dictatorship. And in order to appease this yearning for some kind of change to get the military out, Musharraf has slipped into civilian clothes. He's been given five more years, backed by an American-backed plan. And Benazir Bhutto was persuaded to come back to give a kind of veneer of credibility to Musharraf. But the problem, I was with Bhutto shortly before she returned, and while she was still deciding what dates to come back on, whether she should take up the deal. And the problem she faced is that what Musharraf wanted her to say was she would turn over all of the significant portfolios of power to the military should she be elected as prime minister. I mean, this is managed democracy. This is a sham. It's still Musharraf who holds the reins of power.
Obviously, from the newspaper reports this morning, Benazir is being, you know, opted out on the PM job. You see, you've spoken there personally.
Yeah.
Does she like W?
I think you can definitely say that Benazir Bhutto and the Pakistan People Party, her party, are, in a sense, a Western-looking party. They obviously are campaigning for what's in Pakistan's best interest, but they are not hostile to the goals of the West. They are not going to play the jihadi game. At least it appears that that's the case at the moment.
The West and W are not equivalent.
Okay.
They both start with W.
I have never sensed any anti-Americanism, if that is the root of your question.
Anti-American and anti-Bush are not the same. I'm American, and I'm very anti-Bush.
Okay, Steve, we got you.
I'll be more bold here. I think that there are very few people in Pakistan at this moment in time who have any empathy with George W. Bush. They feel that they've had a military dictatorship foisted on them. They feel that that is a Bush plan. And quite honestly, the result of that is a huge cynicism about the role of the Bush administration in the plight of Pakistan. I mean, just one factor to throw in here, that post-1999, when the coup happened and Musharraf came in, Pakistan has slipped down the failed state index to be in a worse position than Burma. I mean, this is a country with lots of natural resources, some very clever people in it.
Mm-hmm.
That has basically been raped and pillaged by the military, that have suppressed democracy. So anything must be better than the fiasco we have now.
Adrian Levy, I want to take you back, take us back to a description here of Benazir Bhutto as she entered her second term as prime minister. And you write that she had made another decision to stay out of AQ Khan's way. Her involvement in trying to defuse the enrichment crisis of 1990 had cost her many friends in the U.S., in Islamabad, at the KRL, which is the Kahuta Research Lab, the equivalent of Los Alamos, in the military, and ultimately her job. However, she could not fail to notice just how much Khan had changed. He was not the man I had met in my first term. The humility was gone. He was stubborn, diffident, rude. He was, having been awarded that strange title, Father of the Bomb, now quite insufferable. And you go on to describe how Khan appeared to manipulate Bhutto into adding a stop on a foreign trip in Pyongyang, where she met with Kim Jong-il and helped secure some Nodong missiles that Khan needed for delivery of the weapons that he was developing and building. And you describe her discomfort in the state dinner and then seeing all of these poor underfed citizens of North Korea. And then you describe her return to Pakistan, where she first spoke with Hussein Haqqani, who we described earlier this hour. Pick it up there and tell me the extent to which Bhutto was captive to Khan and to the military and really a figurehead in government at that time.
Well, Bhutto, just to finish that little story off, when Bhutto returned, she was warned by the closest advisers, and one of her advisors at that time was Hussein Haqqani, that in essence the military had entrapped her, because she was asked basically to use the office of prime minister to secure a critical deal for the Pakistani military to get hold of these missiles, whose main function was to arm with a nuclear warhead. So they would give they would be essential for the Pakistan military. But at the same time, payment for those missiles would come by the Pakistan military selling North Korea its cash cow, marketing its nuclear technology. Now, she'd never been informed of that element, and this brings me on to a critical point here. Under Bhutto's father, the nuclear program, the WMD program, was a civilian project. It was controlled by all of the laws of the land, if you like, constitutionally protected by the Pakistan constitution, looked after by the president and by a few crucial government ministers. After Benazir Bhutto's father was hung in the coup of General Zia al-Haq in 1979, the whole WMD program moved under the auspices of the Pakistan military. And then, of course, there was no constitutional obligation for them to be answerable to anybody. And successive prime ministers during the period of democracy, whether it be Bhutto or Nawaz Sharif, were simply refused information on the nuclear program. They would go knocking on the military's door and they would be told to desist, to step back. And when Bhutto refused first time round, a kind of mini-coup was instigated against her. And in fact, she discovered that the army had hired a little-known mercenary called Osama bin Laden to try and kill her. This is in 1988-1989. You know, the same thing would happen again in 1993-1994 when Ramzi Youssef, who just planted the bombs under the World Trade Center in New York, fled to Pakistan and was hired again through a conduit of the Pakistan military again to attempt to take Benazir Bhutto's life. So every time she tried to dabble in the nuclear program, the army made it perfectly clear that she could not. And the same applied to Nawaz Sharif. This became a military prerogative, both the procurement, the development of the program, and then the selling on the technology for hard cash.
Very interesting. Adrian Levy is with us again. The new book is called Deception. Now, take a moment here, if you would, and describe for us the role of the ISI, that's the Secret Service, the intelligence agency that is both domestic and international in Pakistan, and any connection that you see to the events of 9/11/2001.
Oh, it's, you know, there's at least five shows in this, I think.
I know.
It's such a, you know, the funny thing is that if discussing this outside the realms of Pakistan, it would seem possibly conspiratorialist to listeners in the States. But within the realms of Pakistan, the ISI has become immensely powerful and incredibly pervasive, backed by huge resources. And also, you know, it is massively successful and sophisticated. I mean, next to the Israeli intelligence community, I guess Pakistan is up there as one of the great intelligence communities. They are linguists, they have agents on the ground, and they have a political philosophy behind them. So the first mistake is to underestimate them. In terms of their connections to 9/11, there are certain things that one must bear in mind. Definitely there was a connection between the then ISI Director General, Mahmoud Ahmed and Mohammed Atta and other members of the 9/11 team, and that's why he was removed from office, in that it was suggested that there was there were provable communications between the RSI and Atta and others.
And wasn't he in Washington, and wasn't there a wire transfer of $100,000 proximate to 9/11?
There was, absolutely, money that was being passed from an RSI account to Atta's account, and that that had been identified by the CIA. There were other more troubling connections as well, in that a lot of the people who were connected to the planning of the September 11th attacks and subsequent attacks were very, very close to the RSI and to groups given succor and funded by the RSI. And there's an element within the RSI that had become, through the process of fighting in Afghanistan and its connections to al-Qaeda and the connections to the Taliban, had become increasingly religious. And that section is a section which still exists within the RSI, and it's the section that people like Benazir Bhutto fear.
Mm-hmm.
They are connected to a group of former generals who are still tremendously influential and still hold sway under Musharraf.
Scary stuff. It really is. And on this side of the Atlantic, I feel that there has just been far too little investigation of the ISI's various roles that you just touched on in the 9/11 attacks. Now, one of the central points you make in the book that really resonates with me, Adrian, is that if the U.S., in response to 9/11, was going to invade another country, it shouldn't have been Afghanistan, really, although you can make a case for that. It never should have been Iraq. Iran is secondary because they're recipients of the proliferation of Pakistan. And so, given that Osama bin Laden is holed up somewhere in North or South Waziristan, and given the role that Pakistan has played in the distribution of nuclear technology, don't they present the real major and imminent threat to the safety of the United States above all the other countries I just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two issues there. One, you know, I'd like to repeat that the Pakistan people are our friends, but the military regime that has suppressed them and that has manipulated the jihadi faction are not our friends. I think that come 2001, after the September the 11th attacks, all of the palpable intelligence that was placed before the Bush administration did point to a military clique that was connected to 9/11, that was manipulating al-Qaeda, had connections to the Taliban, and was proliferating technology. And it wasn't Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
It was not Saddam Hussein. We now know from the 9/11 Commission, from Carl Levin's Commission, we know that there was no tangible connection between Baghdad and al-Qaeda, or between Baghdad and the proliferation of WMD. All of the intelligence suggested that Pakistan was in the frame, and yet that intelligence basically was massaged and rewritten by Feith and others to raise the narrative of Iraq.
You're referring to Douglas Feith, formerly at the Office of Special Plans in the Pentagon.
Exactly. And, of course, this is information which is also pointed to very clearly by the 9/11 Commission. And I think the political manipulation of intelligence is one very worrying factor that comes out of the whole Pakistan story. And a lot of the people who are involved in making the case for Iraq, for cherry-picking intelligence and suppressing the information on Pakistan, they'd done this before in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd done this before. I mean, if we just go back to the kind of to the Reagan period and going into Bush Senior, you know, there was plenty of intelligence there that showed how Pakistan was going to, how it had procured, and warnings given by Pakistan that it was going to proliferate. The head of the Pakistan Army told Norman Schwarzkopf, told Bob, head of CENTCOM then, told Bob Oakley, then the U.S. ambassador in Islamabad, and told Harry Rowan, then at the Pentagon, you know, when you leave, when you stop supporting us, we're going to sell our bomb technology to Iran. And that information was sat on for some bewildering reason. Not only did the West enable the Pakistan program, but then just ignored as it began to proliferate.
We've got to take a break. We'll return with Adrian Levy and get the story of the alleged shutdown of AQ Khan's network, his disciplining, his pardon, and whether or not the activities there at the Kahuta Research Lab have been restarted. More in a moment with the co-author of this new book called Deception. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your solar future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to your solar future Saturdays at high noon. Go to yoursolarfuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to yoursolarfuture.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. Fascinating conversation underway with Adrian Levy, co-author with Catherine Scott Clark, thank you, of Deception, Pakistan, U.S., and Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons. Now, Adrian, take a couple of minutes here, please. Take us back to early 2004. And the scene is that the U.S. has just finally admitted that there were no WMD in Iraq. And we start identifying A.Q. Khan and his network as the source of some of the nuclear issues that we see in North Korea, in Libya, and to some extent in Iran. And we put pressure on the Musharraf government, and they give us a nice little two-act or three-act play and say, yep, we fixed the problem.
Yeah, absolutely right. But, I mean, it's an amazing political performance, really, that takes place. The intelligence on Pakistan's proliferation was very much kept very close to the White House as ongoing operations investigating the breadth and depth of the Pakistan procurement went on. But eventually it leaked into the open, mainly through a dissident Iranian group who gave very valuable and accurate information into the public forum in Washington about the Pakistan procurement program and proliferation program, which meant that the White House had to do something publicly because it could no longer just sit on this huge stockpile of intelligence and do nothing. So what seems to have happened, and this is what everyone says within state, is that effectively a deal was sewn up whereby, to prevent instability in Pakistan would put, the Americans would help Pakistan
characterize the activities of the foreign policy, if you like, of Pakistan as the actions of one man, a rogue scientist, and his colleagues. And so we have 2004, when AQ Khan is made to fall on his sword and appear live on Pakistan television and say, it was all me, I did it all of these country-to-country deals, these customs manifests, these transactions that happened between the State Bank of Pakistan and the State Bank of Libya, etc. It was actually not at all a country-to-country action. The military were fine, it was just me. And immediately afterwards, George Bush congratulates Pakistan and Musharraf for having dealt with it so succinctly. But let me just explain, the backdrop to this deal was very simple, that Pakistan would, A, stop its proliferation immediately,
mm-hmm.
B, it would give American intelligence community access to all of the information on proliferation,
right.
C, it would really step up in the war on terror, giving us access also to the badlands of Waziristan and the tribal belt, and it would crack down on Al-Qaeda and the Taliban.
And it was Richard Armitage, the Undersecretary of State, who negotiated this.
Yeah, Armitage negotiated the deal, and and these were the terms of the deal.
And to what extent has Musharraf lived up to any of those terms, Adrian?
Well, I mean, let's just see what happened. You know, within 18 months, the internal investigation in Pakistan, in so-called internal investigations, the AQ Khan network, of course, came to nothing, and said it had found nothing, no one was being charged, and it was closed down. No comment from the White House. We had no access, the IAEA had no access in Vienna, the International Policing Organization, International Atomic Energy Organization, had no access to the proliferation network. But not only that, but there were worrying signs that the military was still running shelter and cover companies that were procuring both from the United States and Europe, including an attempt to buy nuclear triggers using a cutout company in South Africa, all of which were being investigated by the CIA. So proliferation appeared to be ongoing. We had no access to the so-called Khan network, which was a military network. And then, of course, as you said earlier on the show, we had these devastating secret peace talks, peace deals that were done between Musharraf and the Pakistan military and the so-called new Taliban in Waziristan. You know, by every objective measure, the terms of the deal were betrayed by Musharraf. We got nothing. But, you know, most significantly, the nuclear proliferation crime of all of our lifetimes has gone unpunished.
They
rewarded him $10 billion U.S. dollars since 9/11. That's a lot of money, five times more than Israel.
And it's amazing that Khan was pardoned by Musharraf just minutes after he fell on his sword.
Pardoned by Musharraf, and then Musharraf was pardoned by Bush, and then everyone pardoned everyone else. And, you know, the truth of the matter was happily let lie, which was that the so-called ally, number one ally of the West in the war on terror, had been also, you know, the typhoid Mary of nuclear proliferation. I mean, yet again, this false equation was being drawn whereby security dictated that non-proliferation be downgraded. This is the most serious subject of all.
And Adrian, the real money quote for me in the book, you talk about the one and only visit that Bush made to Musharraf's Pakistan. And in advance of this, Musharraf calls AQ Khan and asks him for a little advice. And it's reported through a third party that Khan told Musharraf, "I can help you, but I won't. Go and lick Bush's balls." Now, when I read that, I just about fell out of my chair because it shows the arrogance that this man can project and still be tolerated by Musharraf.
You know, absolutely. Not only was he tremendously significant to the Pakistan people as a great entrepreneur and an unlikely figurehead for the nuclear program, but, you know, to Pakistanis, it was evident right from the beginning that this was a military enterprise and that his mistake was to be basically patriotic and to do what the military told him, and yet the military sacrificed him in order to protect themselves. And you know, that great anecdote told by one of Khan's closest aides to us, I think illustrates the fact that Musharraf also then found himself out of sorts, not knowing how to run Qahuta, right, not knowing how to keep the nuclear program on its feet.
Adrian, there's so much more in the book. The one other thing I want to mention is that the 05 earthquake did more damage to the nuclear program than the U.S. actions against Musharraf and Khan ever could. I want to thank you for joining us today and being available for extra time. I'm glad we had it, and I'd love to talk with you again, Adrian. The book is Deception: Pakistan, the United States, and the Secret Trade in Nuclear Weapons.
Thanks so much.
And you're really credible because you know how to say nuclear, Adrian.
I'm glad I got my pronunciation right.
It's my pleasure, and I got your name right, too. Thank
you,
sir.
Thanks so much.
All right. Wow. You got to read this book. It is really amazing, and it shows you The Perfidy of George W. Bush. Go ahead and look that up. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A political battle over product safety.
Democrats want the head of the government consumer agency gone. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
President Bush nominates a new Veterans Affairs Secretary.
We hope he can make a difference.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Responding to a wave of tainted products from China, Democrats in Congress want to overhaul and expand the agency that keeps manufacturers honest. But that's not the plan the Bush administration wants. So, as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the fight has gotten personal.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says with parents up in arms over lead-tainted toys, the Consumer Product Safety Commission shouldn't be led by Nancy Nord.
Says we don't need any more authority or any more resources to do our job. Does not understand the gravity of the situation.
Nord opposes legislation to add money, staff, and powers to her agency to try to stop unsafe products before they get into consumers' hands, Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid.
I don't know what planet this woman's living on.
The White House is also opposing Congress's efforts to put more teeth into the Consumer Protection Agency. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The administration objects to a provision that mandates compensation for whistleblowers.
It's not about the price tag or modernizing or improving. It's about this particular bill and this provision.
White House spokeswoman Dana Perino says it would actually impede enforcement because whistleblowers who stand to gain from the outcome of a case would not be credible witnesses. Now this.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please! Taking care of business, Office Depot.
The power of color helps your message stand out in a crowd. Now only at Office Depot, Xerox Certified Print Specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, banners, business cards, and more. Right now at Office Depot, save 20% off a purchase of $20 or more of any color copy, including posters, signs, or banners. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing the power of color to your message. Offer expires 11/10. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
The job of Veterans Affairs Secretary has been vacant since Jim Nicholson stepped down at the start of the month. Today, as CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports, President Bush nominated a replacement.
The president is naming a 40-year veteran of military medicine, retired General James Peek. He's a doctor and former Army Surgeon General, a highly decorated and wounded Vietnam War vet. Acknowledging the VA's wartime challenges, the president said Peek would work to eliminate backlogs.
He will insist on the highest level of care for every American veteran.
If confirmed, Peek will be the first physician and first general to head the VA.
Fundamentally, I'm a soldier. I've been taking care of soldiers essentially all of my adult life.
Senate Democrats are signaling that Peek will likely face confirmation questions about shoddy care at Walter Reed Army Hospital when he was the Army's chief doctor. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Joe Davis, a spokesman for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, says they hope Peek can make a difference.
It's such a tremendous responsibility that he's been asked to take on because, you know, there's no doubt he's going to be walking in to problems the first day on the job.
Not all veterans qualify for free health care. A Harvard Medical School study says about 1 in 8 vets has no coverage, some because their incomes are too high, others because they can't afford the copays or because there are no VA facilities nearby. Trouble cropped up during a spacewalk today. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports one of the International Space Station's big solar panels was damaged.
It happened as the solar wing was being unfurled. Station Commander Peggy Whitson says the sun was so bright it was hard to see. What she could see had her sounding despondent.
You can see quite a bit of deformation in that whole area, not just in the panels that were torn.
Spacewalking astronauts may work on the wing itself rather than a problematic motor, and that could be a challenge.
I don't want to do any more damage to the array than has already been done.
Program manager Mike Suffredini says engineers are looking at pictures, trying to come up with the best fix possible. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The price of crude oil topped $93 a barrel yesterday. Today, on the eve of a Federal Reserve announcement on interest rates, it fell back below 90.
People are somewhat concerned about, you know, which way the Fed's going to go, and in front of that, people are taking some profits here.
Analyst Steve Bellino says that profit-taking extends to home heating oil and gasoline. Their futures also fell today. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm a Han F3 office chair. Why F3? Well, because I'm funky, fresh, and friendly. Actually, I have no idea. Probably some marketing thing. But come here, take a seat on my oh-so-stylish frame. Feel that? Yeah, that's my Alira stretch fabric back, conforming to your every move. You know, we could be doing this every day. You, me, maybe a spreadsheet or two? Think about it.
The F3 chair from Han. Designed with fit, form, and function in mind. Visit GetHan.com. GetHON.com. Han. Smart now, smarter later.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
The power of color helps your message stand out in a crowd. Now only at Office Depot, Xerox Certified Print Specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, banners, business cards, and more. Right now at Office Depot, save 20% off a purchase of $20 or more of any color copy, including posters, signs, or banners. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing the power of color to your message. Offer expires 11/10. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
South Florida is keeping an eye on tropical storm.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie.
Yeah, where's Mike?
Another song and dance.
Mike Gravel.
Another poor sucker who never had a chance. It's just another captain.
At this hour, MSNBC is hosting a presidential forum for the Democratic candidates. It's called a debate, but I don't think that's an accurate description. At Drexel University in Philadelphia. It will air, I believe, at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's what I set up my TiVo for. So I'll be watching it a little bit later on. And as we discussed on the program yesterday, one candidate, only one Democratic candidate for president, has not been invited to this GabFest on MSNBC today. His name's Mike Gravel. He is the former senator from Alaska, and he is running a, shall we say, shoe leather and grassroots campaign for president. And because he has not raised a whole boatload of money, like Hillary and Barack in particular, he has been excluded from this debate. And as we discussed yesterday, I do believe, bottom line, that this is rather arbitrary, and that the other candidates, the other lesser candidates like Joe Biden and Chris Dodd, I appreciate. I'd like to see him stay in the race, but it is a fact that neither one of them has raised huge amounts of money, and neither one is showing real strength in the polls at this point. And so in talking about this with listeners yesterday, and we got quite a few interesting calls about it, many people said, well, hey, it's too early to be excluding people. Mike Gravel should be permitted to participate in this debate. And so it's a very interesting situation. As of today, Mike Gravel is still not invited. And you can actually see an event that he is hosting just down the street from Drexel University. He's at a bar, restaurant, or nightclub with a big screen TV, and they are streaming live from Gravel's website. So you can catch that if you like and check it out. I had the website up here just a minute ago. I'll find it for you right now. It's gravel2008.us. So gravel is how you would say it if you're just typing it in, G-R-A-V-E-L. 2008.us. And if you go to that page, there is a link to a streaming service. And I tried to pull it up here on my computer, and it required me to download a new version of the Flash Player, and I didn't have time to install that and reboot the computer in time for access here right now. But it's an interesting way for you, particularly folks who support Mike Gravel, to check out his kind of counter debate. I think he is running a TiVo machine, watching the debate, and then stopping it to insert his own comments. And if you've heard Mike Gravel, that could be a real hoot. It also could have great depth. So there's another wrinkle. In an ad in the San Francisco Chronicle today, and presumably in other papers around the country, a man named Gregory V. Chase wrote a letter to NBC News. He says, "My name's Gregory Chase. I live in New Hampshire. I run a hedge fund that trades currencies. On a personal basis, separate from Senator Mike Gravel's campaign, I am making an independent expenditure of a greater magnitude than what some other candidates' campaigns will spend in the state through the primary." And he writes that he's going to do direct mail, he's going to put up lawn signs and run ads supporting Gravel every day between now and the New Hampshire primary. And so he makes an offer to NBC here. He said, "If it would help get Senator Gravel back into the debate, I offer to purchase $1 million of advertising from NBC or simply pay NBC $1 million in exchange for the service of allowing Gravel to participate in your debate. And if you don't permit him to debate, he'll be speaking down the street at the World Cafe on Walnut Street in Philly tonight." Gregory Chase joins us now on the program. Mr. Chase, welcome.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I was pleasantly surprised when I opened my San Francisco Chronicle this morning and saw your paid political ad. Where else did this run?
It ran in a bunch of papers. Originally, I ran it last Thursday in the three New Hampshire papers where I've been running advertisements advocating Senator Gravel and his positions on some issues that I feel strongly about as well. And then I came out on October 15th, which is only 11 days before the debate, that NBC had a few requirements in order for a candidate to be included in a debate, and one of them was that they needed to have $1 million in their campaign bank account. So I was fairly depressed when I first heard about that, and then I got to thinking about it and took substantial issue with their criteria. I understand that they would need to reduce the size of the field or would feel the need. I mean, eight candidates have a lot to have on the stage, and no one knows better than Senator Gravel that it's hard to get a lot of talking time with that many candidates.
Yeah, right. He and Kucinich have had to use their elbows to get moderators like Tim Russert to even acknowledge that they're there.
Well, it forces them to be a little bit sensationalist. I actually think Senator Gravel, if you look at his policies especially, take a look at his tax reform policies. He's way on the Republican side of things there. I think he's in the middle, although people cast him far to the left. He's forced to sensationalize himself to some extent for two reasons. One, that he's not a sitting politician. He's been out of politics for over 20 years. And the other is that he doesn't have a whole lot of cash in the bank or a lot of attention, so he's not given a lot of time. And if he's going to make a mark in 4 minutes, he's got to say some pretty big things and take a couple shots as well.
Well, and we have this insidious cycle where the media makes determinations in our stead. I won't say for us, but they insert themselves and decide that he's never going to have a shot, so we're not even going to let him be heard. And it is a cycle that fulfills itself or fulfills a prophecy. Because when you say, well, he doesn't have enough money and he doesn't have enough support, you are then denying him the very oxygen that could change either one of those factors.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, it's as if you... I wish those same words could have come out of my mouth, because that's exactly how I feel. You said it better than I probably ever will. It's one thing for campaign financing to be correlated to success, where the winner often is the one who raises the most money. That's fine. That's just a correlation. It's a nice relationship. But for it to be a causal relationship where NBC says you can't even come on stage if you haven't raised $1 million, it's an absolute requirement, or they imply, I'm not actually sure exactly what their requirements are. They haven't been clear with anyone what their precise requirements are. But for them to say you need to have $1 million to be part of the debate at this time is just propagating exactly the issue that a lot of current and aspiring politicians and a lot of members of the public have and are worried about with politics today.
Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to let you know that I'm fond of Mike Gravel. I was one of the first when he announced for president to give him media attention. He and I met in the summer of 2006 in Washington at a conference called Take Back America, and he had not been invited by the organizers. So I invited him, and he came over, and he did an interview with me, and then he was on a bunch of other radio and press interviews there. And it was interesting because at the Take Back America conference 2007, the organizers invited him and actually gave him a chance to speak to the lunchtime gathering. Ralph Nader introduced him. And so it was a very interesting shift there because the progressives didn't know what to do with Mike Gravel when he first announced. And I give them credit at Take Back America for acknowledging him and permitting him to be heard this past May. But it's an interesting situation because, frankly, I think that he belongs at this debate tonight. I think that he should be heard. And at the same time, I don't think I would ever vote for Mike. I don't think that he is bad to have in the picture here. But if I'm going to vote for somebody based on the issues, Dennis Kucinich will earn my vote. If I'm going to vote based on the horse race when we get to the California primary, I might support Obama or Edwards. But that aside, I do support Mike's right to be included, and I feel that the criteria they used are quite arbitrary, and that, in fact, Gravel belongs in a pack with Chris Dodd, whom I have great agreement with on foreign policy, on Gitmo, on the Military Commissions Act, and on the NSA issues. Joe Biden, I don't particularly support him, but I think that he offers a worthwhile perspective and is at the core of some of the key issues related to the occupation of Iraq in the U.S. Senate today. But it's fair to say that Gravel, Biden, and Dodd have essentially the same level of support. It's below 3%.
Yeah, down at the noise level. I'd like to think it's not going to stay that way for too long in New Hampshire, if my work goes as well as I'm hoping it will. But you bring up some great points. They're bringing the field not from 8 to 4, but from 8 to 7. And the one that they're eliminating from the field, and if you want to take a negative view on it, the one that they designed criteria in order to eliminate from the field, is the one that's most critical of his fellow Democrats. And I think that he's actually doing the voters a great service to bring to light some steps that maybe the Democrats have made since they were elected to a majority in Congress in November that are not what the American people mandated them to come in there and do. And so Senator Gravel will bring that up. And you've got to wonder, it begs the question, well, if he hadn't been so critical of his colleagues on stage in the last few debates, would he be up there tonight?
Right. We're going to take a break and return with Gregory Chase. He is the man who has offered NBC $1 million worth of advertising business, or just $1 million, to put Mike Gravel back on the podium with the other 7 Democratic candidates for president. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. We've got zippy new, easy-to-use podcasts available every day.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
And there we go, folks. Time for traffic. Let's get to it. Got a problem right now being reported. Let's see. Salinas, southbound 101 and North Main Street. We have road construction until it looks like the off-ramp is closed for marking. And that's going to last until November. Also taking a look at a new problem. Santa Cruz, southbound 17. The ramp to southbound 1, we have a crash on the shoulder. Two cars being reported there. In the Gonzales area, southbound 101 after 5th Street, there's a solo vehicle facing the wrong way. It's in the center divide. Greenfield, northbound 101 after Thorn, we have a vehicle overturned. Actually went through a fence and landed in a ditch. CHP is on scene there. Looks like the fire department also being called to the area. That's traffic on KRXA.
Time for more here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad. Now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Gregory V. Chase. We do honor middle initials here. He is the man from New Hampshire who has been running independent expenditure ads in support of Senator Mike Gravel and up the ante with this offer to spend $1 million in advertising on NBC or even just give them $1 million to allow Mike Gravel to participate in today's debate. It didn't happen. And so what are your next steps here? Do you think that you can persuade Fox News and other hosts of debates in the future to reconsider the kind of criteria that NBC applied here, Mr. Chase?
Well, I think that's really, I have sort of stepped into this issue inadvertently to some extent because it only happened this past Friday when I was getting up and going with my efforts in New Hampshire. That we found out that Senator Gravel was not invited to this debate, although I would have some comments on how debates should be conducted, what the criteria should be for inclusion in a debate, and when they should be announced. That's not really the cause that I'm trying to push forward right now. Senator Gravel will be speaking down the street at World Cafe Live, and I think he'll have quite a big audience. He's going to do something fairly interesting, have a large screen behind him with the debate playing and a TiVo controller, and he'll pause and get to take his shots at the other candidates as he cares to, and he'll have certainly a lot more than 4 minutes to say what he wants to say.
And it'll be interesting to see if that gets media coverage in itself.
Yeah, I think it may. We just shipped a load of signs over there, and not affiliated with the campaign, but some relatives and friends of mine are taking them over to other supporters that I've been talking with, and I think there will be a real presence there. A lot of people have expressed interest in going down there, just walking down the street with some Gravel signs. I got a whole lot of questions about what's going on and where. So I think people are excited for that, and hopefully that'll get some media attention. As far as where Gravel will be in the future in relation to the media, inclusion in debates, and so on, I hope they take him back in, even if it's Fox News. I don't keep my fingers crossed. I don't have too much hope right now, to be honest.
All right. Now, let me deal with a couple of perceived negatives. One is that you acknowledge that you're a hedge fund operator. Hedge fund operators aren't that popular these days. The other, that you're running an independent expenditure campaign. Now, some people associate that with the dark side, the Swift voters and folks like that. But I have actually worked on independent expenditure campaigns, and depending on who writes the check and what the message is, they can be just as valuable as the messages that come from the campaign itself. But is this an end run on campaign finance laws, in your view, where because you would not be able to contribute $1 million directly to the campaign, you're able to do it by setting up this separate legal entity?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a little more evil than you even just described.
Uh-oh.
To fully disclose that I used to work for a big bulge bracket bank trading oil as well, in addition to everything else you just said. So as far as the campaign finance rules, I don't have strong opinions on them. I can't say I disagree with the limits. I certainly don't think the amount of money in a candidate's bank is a good proxy for the amount of support that they have. I wish that we had a better publicly funded forum so that so much of the task would not fall to expenditures either from the campaign itself or from independent expenditures from affiliated organizations or, in my case, an affiliated or a supporting individual, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should depend so much on the money, and I don't actually think it does depend so much on the money, except that there is a positive feedback introduced by the reporting, and I don't blame the news agencies because people are interested in it, but reporting on levels of fundraising for all the different candidates is a great early proxy, and it's an easier thing to do than to go out and take a lot of polls. It's a lot cheaper for news organizations to report the fundraising numbers than to go take statistically significant polls.
Well, and the Shorenstein Center at in Boston at Harvard, I think, just released a poll that shows that 77% of the people who are asked want to hear more about candidates' position on the issues, but what they're getting is information about the amount of money and the status in the polls of the individual candidates.
Yeah, one thing I appreciate about Senator Gravel in particular is he does not, in his words, I mean, he'll tell us we're getting fatter and lazier right from there to that we need to get off oil and how we should do it, and it involves taxes, which is something nasty that people don't like to think about so much, but he'll come out and say it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't mince words. If he thinks we're, if, for example, in economic trouble, if you listen to the United States Comptroller General, we have a number of issues having to do with the current account balance, which can be broken down into public and private sector balances. It's not just the federal debt and the budget deficit, but it's what's going on in the private sector. When you see foreign companies coming over here with all their dollars to buy United States real estate or companies, there's a reason that's happening, and that's because we have an enormous trade imbalance. And that's a problem brewing. I see it every day in the foreign exchange markets. You can see it in the price of the dollar.
Yeah.
But it affects things elsewhere as well. Senator Gravel was willing to acknowledge that. On the financial side, Ron Paul on the other side of the aisle will, mm-hmm. of course, as well. So I appreciate that Senator Gravel is willing to hit on the issues. And while the public said that they want that as well, sometimes I think that they do themselves a little bit of a disservice by not following through on that sentiment and requiring that the candidates that they support take a clear stand on all issues.
Gregory V. Chase, thank you for joining us. You've got a website, supportinggravel.blogspot.com, that people can check out for more information. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
My pleasure. Coming up next, Jason Leopold from truthout.org, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Could this be the last straw? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It turns out that the criminal investigation into whether those Blackwater bodyguards were acting in self-defense when they gunned down 17 Iraqi civilians last month has run into a hitch. The hitch is that the State Department promised the guards immunity, which means anything they say cannot and will not be used against them in a court of law. But wait, there's more. Let me quote the Associated Press. Quote, one State Department official said if, in fact, such a decision was made, it was done without any authorization from any senior State Department official in Washington, unquote. If the decision was made, why can't they tell us for sure? Well, because an arm of the State Department called the Bureau of Diplomatic Security apparently granted the immunity, quote, even though it did not have the authority. So, the Blackwater guards who opened up on civilians will likely skate because they were granted immunity by someone who had no power to grant immunity, but the immunity sticks because if you work for the State Department, you can give yourself powers you don't have. Well, maybe the Iraqis won't notice.
Private security firms, Blackwater in particular, are hated by Iraqis for the way that they behave in the street.
No, they noticed. And in fact, Iraq wants to launch its own investigation, apparently thinking it's a free and sovereign government. Where did it get that idea? Oh, yeah, in 2004.
2 days ahead of schedule, the world witnessed the arrival of a free and sovereign Iraqi government.
Hey, suppose Iraq says, we're a free and sovereign government. This is the last straw. We're kicking you out. Dang, wouldn't that be sad? Now this.
Reason number 13 to switch to Geico. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to GEICO for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and I know for sure. But does she really want to? But can't stand to see me walk out the door.
Yeah, it's talk radio that makes you want to shake it.
Like a Polaroid picture.
Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, 'cause we don't know how.
Jason Leopold joins me now from truthout.org. He is one of their key investigative reporters and some kind of a hoo-ha editor, and also is the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. How about you?
Pretty good. Yeah, hoo-ha editor. I like that. I like it.
I didn't have your bio up in front of me. I know you've got a title. I just don't know exactly what it is. Why don't you tell us what's on your business card?
Actually, on the business card, but it just says reporter.
Oh, okay. But your actual title is?
It's a senior editor.
Senior editor. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about the hoo-ha.
No, I like it.
That's not fair.
Titles are meaningless anyway.
Yeah. Well, hey, I wanted to apologize for the garlic on my breath. I took my brother to lunch today, and we had some French moulet frites.
I was wondering what that was.
It is a little bit intense. Well, Jason, I wanted to check in with you on a couple of fronts. In a little bit, I want to talk with you about the latest on Blackwater and
sure.
the various investigations that are underway. But first, I just wanted to talk about the general situation in Washington and the way the Democrats continue to get brushed back and just taken advantage of. And I'm still hearing one of my favorite callers, Dave from the Pinnacle, St. Peter. It's not a mistake. This is intentional on their part.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get a sense of the things that I care most about, the NSA spying bill.
Right.
The new money for the war, and Bush just keeps demanding more, and the Democrats seem to be willing to give it to him, and the Mukasey nomination, where
once again, we see
the Democrats
Bush
just laying down.
That the Democrats have wasted their time on meaningless investigations this year.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening, as you know, Matt Renner, your former producer, had written a story. Really spent a lot of time on an investigative piece regarding these freshman senators who are part of this the Blue Dog coalition, I guess is the way they refer to them.
Just a minor correction, it was House members more than senators.
The House.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. Actually today there's a story in The Hill, a newspaper over in D.C., which actually says that a number of these, exactly what Matt reported, that these freshman House members are the ones that are pretty much holding up the legislation, holding up the basically what it comes down to is that they are the problem in terms of having the Democrats really unified as one unified voice.
And if we put a face on it, it's the face of Rahm Emanuel.
Correct. And
it really is
something that continues to be under the radar, in a sense. I mean, I know I've said this on your show before, but when we talk about Democrats, we tend to just talk about one group or one party that's that we think of as liberal. But within the Democratic Party, there are so many different caucuses, groups, and they're not unified. The problem with the Democrats is that they don't have a unified voice. They're not a united front. So you have the Progressive Caucus, who acts, in one certain way. Mm-hmm. Then you have these blue dogs. Then you have other groups that are sort of more conservative.
The like DLC.
Blue dogs.
Well, the DLC too, and
the DLC. Yes, thank you. So when it comes down to getting legislation, passed that represents what the public wants. For example, the war supplemental, or the warrantless wiretaps, this FISA bill. There are a number of different Democrats that have been going and voting along with Republicans, mm-hmm. or that are unwilling to support a particular piece of legislation that one of their colleagues would come out with, because it doesn't go far enough. So one of the one thing that has has really hurt the Democrats is that it's as if everyone is out for themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't band together. It's very problematic for them right now, simply because they're scattered.
Well, and let's take a look at the calculus that brought this freshman class in. It was the Rahm Emanuel being named to head the campaign committee, the DCCC.
Right.
And Rahm Emanuel is a DLC guy who was a top Clinton advisor back in the 90s.
Yeah.
He ran for Congress from Chicago, and he's a very wealthy man himself. He's a millionaire. I don't know the dimensions of it, but he is not living on his congressional salary.
That's absolutely correct.
And he recruited a bunch of people like himself.
Yes.
To run for office, many of which were conservative, wealthy, so that they could contribute to their own campaigns. And when you look at the situation, some of this may have made sense. I hold my nose when I think of Casey, the new senator from Pennsylvania,
right.
Because there was a great guy named Pinocchio, who was the real progressive in that race, and Chuck Schumer, who was running the Senate campaigns, just wouldn't even give him the time of day, much less
right.
a check for $10,000.
Right, and that's one of the big problems right now, is that the public, the people that do support the Democrats, I would say that there are some real progressives out there, but that is not being represented within the Democratic Party right now. We're basically being, fed a lot of BS. Rahm Emanuel goes out and recruits, some people who call themselves Democrats. But that's it. They're just, Democrats in name only. Their actions don't match, what they campaign on. And that is really what has caused this rift within their own party.
And here's an example for you. And one of the other issues that caused Emanuel to make those kinds of recruiting choices was he wanted to win back some districts that had been solidly Republican.
Right.
So here in California, we were able to unseat Richard Pombo in a 54% Republican district, one that went for Bush in 2000 and 2004 by at least 10 points. And Jerry McNerney lucked out and was the only one to defeat an incumbent in California in the last cycle.
Right.
But Jerry McNerney, who, by the way, was very responsive to us in the first 6 months of his freshman term, now is not available to come and talk with us on the program. And it's because he has shifted to the right.
Right.
And he is looking at his reelection next fall and trying to figure out what voters, again, in a red district, will accept And so, yes, he's pulling punches.
Right.
Now, Jason Leopold, when I look at that, it offends me, but, you know, mentally or, you know, rationally, I can process it and understand it. What I can't process and understand is the work of Dianne Feinstein, a very...
I'm glad you just mentioned that, because that is exactly what... Or she is the senator I was about to mention.
And she is the safest of the, you know, the people in
right.
California politics. She doesn't have to risk anything in terms of worrying that at re-election time she's going to be unseated because of a single vote. And so last week she led the charge to
right.
cave on an effort to block a far right-wing judicial nominee named Southwick.
Right.
And she greased the way to get past the leadership's block of his confirmation, took it to the floor. She cast the deciding vote in favor of ending debate, the cloture vote.
Right.
And some Democrats joined her in that, perhaps to just get it over with. The other Democrats voted against the nomination when it actually hit the floor, but not Di-Fi.
Right.
She voted for this. And then just one more thing. We read the sidebars.
Yep.
Of the presidential visit to the fire zone in Southern California last Thursday. And who got to ride on Air Force One out and back and got private time with the president but his favorite California senator, Dianne
right.
Feinstein.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she gave quotes afterward saying that she had a great talk with him, that he really sold her on his position on Iraq, made a lot of good points, and it just brings up my gag reflex.
Yeah. Well, she has certainly, I think that her actions have, certainly when it comes to her voting record in the past year, has caused a lot of people to scratch their heads and wonder, what is she doing? You know, you mentioned the federal judge that she helped get through.
Yeah, Southwick.
In August, before they left on before Congress and Senate left on their summer break, Dianne Feinstein, this was a story that was out in, again, the newspaper called The Hill. And basically, Dianne Feinstein was telling people behind the scenes that she would support this particular judge if she could get Republicans to support some of her pet projects down the road. And so this was very much a quid pro quo. Don't know what those projects are yet, but she certainly seems to be, you know, leaning, in the right direction, if you will. But, you know, again, it is definitely, you know, politics is very much, you know, I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch my back. But, you know, she's just helped, you know, push many things through,
and Jason,
including, you know, that FISA bill, including
mm-hmm.
the supplemental without any benchmarks, that she, you know, really, it appears that she's becoming sort of like Joel Lieberman.
Well, and I'm not offended by horse trading, but let's trade pork for pork, apples for apples.
Right.
To trade some accommodation on bills, and I'm not sure which ones they were, in exchange for the lifetime court appointment of
exactly.
a far-right zealot, that is not a fair trade, and it's not, the kind of horse trading that I can tolerate.
Right. Yeah, there's interesting, because I read... in some of the local newspapers you have up there, up north, in I think it was certainly some of the San Francisco newspapers, but there were a couple letters to the editor by just your average readers that were saying, "What happened with Dianne Feinstein? Why is she voting the way she's voting? What why is her stance or her position on certain issues suddenly changed?" And so that's exactly, you know, my point is that people are just sort of left in the dark, and she is very much behind the scenes. If you recall, she was, you know, one person at least when the Republicans had the majority that was very vocal. But way she's conducting herself is you know, sort of being deceptive. And doing it in a very sneaky way.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll return with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. You want to join us? You can. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Up next, we'll talk about Blackwater. And did the State Department offer immunity to some of the shooters at Nisour Square September 16th? That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
It's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour hosted by me, Richard Stockton, Friday, November 2nd.
This sexual harassment therapy was useless. I already know how to do it.
Tonight Show comedians Mark Pitt.
All right, sir.
And Karen Babbitt. It's a Santa Cruz-style prairie home companion with the Raging Granny.
Raging Grannies.
Ukulele Dick.
Not Ukulele Dick.
The Great Morgani. Blues Great Al Frisbee, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Rupert Opie, belly dancer Tamara Nelson, all the outpatient players.
They let the players out!
And the Planetoid Band, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. Friday, November 2nd at the Columba Jazz Center. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save our bucks!
At Streetlight Records and Gateways Books. Friday, November 2nd at the Columba, the Planet Cruz Comedy Hour. You're gonna laugh your glutes off.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the very latest and start off with a problem being reported right now. Let's check it out. It's Gonzales, southbound 101 after Fifth Street, solo vehicle facing the wrong way in the center divide area. Then we'd like to take a look at Santa Cruz, southbound 17, the ramp to Highway 1 southbound. We have an accident with two vehicles involved in that crash. CHP is there. Monterey, northbound 1 just before Highway 68, we have one car blocking the left lane, another vehicle off to the shoulder there. So that's causing a problem. Gilroy area, southbound 101 before Monterey Street, we have three 10-foot-long pipes. Yep, 10-foot-long pipes in the left lanes. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17, between the Lexington Reservoir and Big Moody Curve, very slow traffic, the reason we had an earlier stall. And this report is brought to you by Crystal Geyser Natural Water.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco, who may not know it, but
no,
they
don't.
Are beautiful. And so is their city. This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA.
Yeah, come just in time for Halloween. It's a great time to be in San Francisco. We continue now with Jason Leopold from truthout.org and Blackwater and the other military contractors, mercenaries I call them, in Iraq, are facing a double whammy, Jason, because
yeah.
In Iraq, as Truthout reports on the homepage right now, the Iraqi government has approved draft legislation which removes the immunity for foreign private security companies, which, of course, was imposed by Boots Bremer in Decree 17 back there in 2004 or
right.
2005. And then on this side of the pond, the State Department is disputing allegations that it offered immunity to the individuals who were involved in the events at Nisour Square on the 16th of September. Every account that we've heard so far indicates that they fired without provocation. They were not fired upon. And it appears that while this may not be retroactive and involve those individuals who work for Blackwater, may going forward cause certain contractors to be subject to prosecution under Iraqi law.
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of behind the scenes also. Last week, I received a telephone call and several emails from people who claimed that they were State Department employees involved in, part of this investigation, at least some staffers. And actually, these people had also contacted other reporters and had alleged that that Blackwater was provided immunity, was given immunity by individuals in the State Department in exchange for their cooperation. Now, that was just very bizarre. The phone call, the unsolicited phone call and the emails, and I spoke to a number of my colleagues in mainstream news organizations and independent media organizations, and we all sort of felt that this was strange because this is not something that the State Department does. They don't, they're not in the position of providing, any sort of immunity. Well, especially with regard to investigation, such as this, what apparently is at issue right now is that the Blackwater was given what they call use immunity. Now, if you recall from the Valerie Plame, Scooter Libby, CIA leak trial, and that whole ordeal, Ari Fleischer was provided what they call use immunity when he had testified and when he had cooperated. And use immunity basically means that the statements that you give won't be used in the course of the investigation, won't be used against you, but it does not prohibit any sort of prosecution. If once they find their evidence of something else, or once they find their evidence independently that that they acted with malice, or allegedly acted that way.
Yeah.
So right now there seems to be parsing of words about what type of immunity they were given, but that actually still does not answer the question of why they were given this immunity, and whether or not Condoleezza Rice was in the loop on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, behind the scenes, that's what was alleged, that Condoleezza Rice signed off on this, that she had the authority from the Justice Department to do that. So, these are some of the things that I'm working on right now, some of the issues related to this type of, immunity, for Blackwater. And I think that you're going to see in the next couple of days reports coming out, that Condoleezza Rice had, signed off on this.
Interesting.
And it's very bizarre that it didn't come out, obviously, when she was testifying, but I don't think anyone knew about that at the time in the House Government Reform Committee.
Well, Jason, speaking of Waxman's Committee, one of the other interesting things that has surfaced there that was first heard on the Peter B. Collins Show back in August is the issue of whether or not the people who work for Blackwater in Iraq are independent contractors.
Right.
And the Internal Revenue Service has said no, that the claim that they are is without merit. And this makes them not only vulnerable to back taxes and penalties that they should have been deducting from employees' salaries,
right,
but also enhances the liability that Blackwater has for the activities of its employees because they use the independent contractor agreements to try to insulate themselves from liability for the actions of their employees. And they are employees. They are not contractors. Eric Prince tried to say that they actually, you know, mythically work as contractors directly to the State Department as if he's just running a little payroll service.
Right, exactly. As if, you know, sure, and, you know, they get all these great benefits to go along with it. I mean, that is going to be certainly their you know, a number of other senators came out, and members of Congress have also asked for an investigation into, you know, what I like to call the, you know, Al Capone way of getting some, finding someone guilty of something,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
But, there really is something that went on behind the scenes with regard to the investigation, and the fact that Condoleezza Rice, for at least the preliminary evidence that's there mm-hmm. right now, did sign off on providing Blackwater.
Jason, we got to go. We'll watch for more under your byline at truthout.org.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Singer-actor Robert Goulet, who was waiting for a lung transplant after being diagnosed with a rare form of pulmonary fibrosis, has died in Los Angeles. He was 73. CBS News correspondent Nick Young has his story.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Mr. Robert Goulet.
Robert Goulet became an overnight star after making his 1960 Broadway debut in Camelot, singing what would become his signature ballad.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer.
Goulet's rich voice and matinee idol looks paved the way for a long career in theater, television, and movies, as well as dozens of best-selling albums. Frank Sinatra, a fan, said Goulet's booming baritone was as wide as Sophie Tucker's backside. Translation, it was humongous. Nick Young, CBS News.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the head of the agency that polices product safety should resign. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed has the story.
Pelosi says it's clear that Nancy Nord, the acting chairman of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, doesn't understand the gravity of the situation because Nord opposes legislation now before Congress that would double the agency's budget over the next 7 years to more than $141 million a year. And it would give the agency tough new tools to go after companies that make or market unsafe products. For example, raising the cap on penalties from $1.8 million to $100 million per offense and giving company employees big rewards for blowing the whistle on unsafe products.
Nord was speaking for the White House, which says it supports an expansion of the commission's role but objects to a few provisions in the bill. President Bush is nominating a veteran, former Army Surgeon General James Peak, to head the Department of Veterans Affairs.
As a medical officer and combat vet who was wounded in action, Dr. Peak understands the view from both sides of the hospital bed, the doctors and the patients.
VA hospitals are challenged by the influx of wounded veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. In Iraq, a nightmare scenario that has nothing to do with terrorism or sectarian strife. A U.S. Army Corps of Engineers report says the Mosul Dam holding back the Tigris River could collapse, and that, reports CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi, would inundate the cities of Mosul and Baghdad with a trillion-gallon wave of water.
The U.S. has supplied $27 million worth of equipment to upgrade aging machinery used for reinforcing, which has been a problem since the dam was built in 1984. Nevertheless, a report says that because of potential erosion, the Mosul Dam is, quote, the most dangerous dam in the world. The problem is that it was built on a type of rock that dissolves when it comes into contact with water.
Iraq's Minister of Water Resources says the government is planning to design a permanent solution. Oil fell back below $90 a barrel. The Dow lost 77 points. This is CBS News.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice then. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333, we'll name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333. That's 800-282-3333 for the hottest gift.
The latest advice for men with prostate cancer? Stick with the program. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
5 days a week for 8 weeks, the treatment schedule for prostate cancer can be grueling.
We see it routinely that men ask for a day off here or there, like, say, grandchild's getting married. We usually don't hesitate to tell them to take the day off, and we just add it on to the end.
Turns out that might not be so wise, says Dr. David D'Ambrosio of Philadelphia's Fox Chase Cancer Center. Looking at 15 years of data on nearly 1,800 patients, he finds men with low-risk prostate cancer have a higher risk of recurrence if they miss more than 2 treatment days. He says this highlights the importance of sticking to the regimen once it begins. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A new study on vitamin D and cancer finds that people with higher levels of vitamin D have a lower risk of dying from colorectal cancer, but researchers found no evidence that vitamin D reduces the risk of death from other types of cancer. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Taking care of business, office depot.
The power of color helps your message stand out in a crowd. Now only at Office Depot, Xerox Certified Print Specialists will bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, banners, business cards, and more. Right now at Office Depot, save 20% off a purchase of $20 or more of any color copy, including posters, signs, or banners. Office Depot, taking care of business by bringing the power of color to your message. Offer expires 11/10. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Now, let's get this party started. How about the free speech zone? I'd like to hear your calls and comments this hour. Lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You know the number, 888-573-8372. And to kick things off, we turn to Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW in Washington. That's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going for you today?
Very good. How about you?
Not too bad. You got your helmet on and those extra pads to take on a guy like Mitch McConnell?
Oh, well, you know, Mitch McConnell was someone that we included in this year's most corrupt report because he has so many problems. And now it's getting finally a little more press, his relationship with the British defense contractor, BAE.
Mm-hmm. And there's a nice little cozy relationship where Mitch has received, let's see, at least $53,000 in campaign contributions from BAE's Political Action Committee just since 2002. And he's been returning the favors.
Yes, he has. He is currently pushing a $25 million earmark for BAE, and it's for he's tucked money for three weapons projects for BAE systems into the Defense Appropriations Bill, and the Defense Department didn't actually necessarily want all of this money, but want these projects, but nonetheless they're getting them thanks to Mr. McConnell. And the interesting thing about all of this, besides which is just the relationship between BAE and McConnell straight up, because he's earmarking in return for huge amounts of campaign contributions, which would be enough to be a problem anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But as they say on some television game shows, there's more. In addition, it turns out BAE is under Justice Department investigation for a long-standing practice and widespread pattern of bribery allegations. And in addition, BAE has also been under investigation in Britain. And last year there was a whole 60 Minutes episode about BAE under investigation in Britain and the Saudi Prince Bandar, who has had a long relationship with BAE and is also a longtime diplomat here in the United States.
Well, and a close friend of the Bush family, so close that he's sometimes referred to as Bandar Bush.
Exactly.
So Bandar, though, is sitting on millions, if not billions, of the Saudi royal family's oil money. Why does he need to be bribed?
Well, because why would Bush McConnell be busy pushing things for BAE? BAE is, you know, wouldn't have otherwise had a particularly cozy relationship with the Senate Minority Leader, but here it is. He's willing to push earmarks for them simply because they'll pay for them. And you know, the interesting thing is, they also, by the way, I should add, created BAE has also donated a lot of money, $500,000, pledged $500,000 to the Mitch McConnell Center at the University of Louisiana, Louisville.
Oh, my. Now, I didn't know about that. That's really greasy.
Yeah. Again, something we've seen before. We've seen it with Tom DeLay. We've seen it with other members of Congress. When you are finally tapped out on the amount you can give to somebody's campaign coffers, you give to their private foundation. And that gets you even more goodwill. But the thing is, usually when members of Congress are faced with companies that they're close to in the midst of major criminal investigations, they back away.
Mm-hmm.
A good example of that was there was a company that Tom DeLay was close to for a very long time called Westar, and they were an energy company. And when the Westar Energy Company in Kansas had been able to push energy legislation that they wanted that was bad for everybody else but good for Westar, and that was going through until the top executives were accused of bribery, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody was far away from Westar. So that's the kind of reaction you expect to see, even among campaigns, even between politicians and companies that are very close thanks to the campaign contributions. But here, Mitch McConnell is still pushing forward on the BAE front, which is very surprising.
Well, it's also interesting in the article that's up at your website, I'm reading here, that BAE purchased United Defense Industries just a couple of years ago. And that company, which has some installations in the San Francisco Bay Area where they make tanks and armored vehicles, was formerly owned or at least invested in by the Carlyle Group, which, of course, is connected to Poppy Bush. He's been, I don't know if he's still active there, but he was on their board and very active in that. It's kind of a venture capital with a focus on military and defense contracting industries. And so this just, you know, makes that circle a little bit more complete.
That's right. Well, the Carlyle Group pops up a lot of places. You see their name a lot in Washington and certainly in the defense industry, and it has a lot of top former Republican administration officials, and always questionable what they're up to.
Mm-hmm. Also, this article points out that BAE, along with Lockheed Martin, in 2002 agreed to pay the Justice Department about $6 million to settle a False Claims Act involving defective equipment that they sold to the Navy.
I know, which is all the more disturbing. You could understand why the Pentagon might not be dying to buy more equipment from a company that's selling them defective equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, the Defense Department hasn't been asking for these for the money for this equipment, and yet McConnell's pushing it anyway.
And, Melanie, there are interesting parallels between what is being investigated right now related to Mitch McConnell, earmarks in exchange for campaign contributions, and that's not so far off the scenario from Duke Cunningham's conviction for bribery, and Brent Wilkes is now being tried for bribing Duke Cunningham, and some of the same techniques were used.
That's right, although the one difference I will point out is so far all the allegations are that Mitch McConnell received money into his campaign funds and
Correct.
Not into his private personal bank account, which is what Duke Cunningham was doing.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many members now, though, under investigation for receiving significant campaign contributions in return for earmarks. Jerry Lewis, the ranking member on appropriations, being a prime example.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lewis is also figuring into the Duke Cunningham scandal.
Mm-hmm. So what is the latest from the Brent Wilkes trial with celebrity defense attorney Mark Garagos at the helm?
Right. Well, this is just a fascinating story on a day-to-day basis, and Brent Wilkes turns out to be the first witness and perhaps the only witness that Mark Garagos brought to the stand. That is an unusual move for a defense lawyer, first to put his client on the stand at all, because a client does have the right to be presumed innocent without ever saying a word,
right.
And then to have him be the main witness. And he has been on the stand for about 2 days now, talking about his relationship with Duke Cunningham and why he did what he did. And they are really trying to make it out like poor Brent Wilkes, he just, you know, didn't want to make Duke Cunningham angry. So that's why he kept paying for all these things and not asking to be paid back.
Oh, really? It was just a politeness thing?
It was a politeness thing. It's not that he ever actually bribed him. He just didn't ask him to return money that he forwarded him. And somehow that's supposed to work in addition for the $525,000 he sent to a New York mortgage firm that helped cover the $2.5 million mansion that Duke Cunningham bought in Rancho Santa Fe.
Wow.
I don't think jurors are going to find that all that persuasive, but, you know, maybe it's just me.
And how far along is the trial now? If Wilkes is on the stand and no other witnesses are going to be called, the defense may rest in the next few days?
The defense may rest in the next few days, and then the prosecution will consider whether it needs any rebuttal. They'll have another chance if there was something that came out in the Wilkes case. And it's still possible Wilkes is going to put someone else on the stand, but it wouldn't seem likely because usually the defendant would be the last guy up there. And we'll see. I would think it might well be in the hands of the jury by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, Melanie, keep us posted on these cases, and thanks for your hard work there.
My pleasure.
Just one final thing before you go. Larry Craig, still in the Senate, right?
Larry Craig, still in the Senate, causing no end of angst. And, you know, by the way, I have heard that Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler, has some other Republican in his headlights that he's going to be telling us more about their sexual misconduct in the near future, some Republican senator. So that's something to look forward to.
All right. Thank you, Melanie Sloan.
Bye-bye.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
We're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Give me a buzz right now. Lines are open for you. 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. Steve in Sacramento, up first in the Free Speech Zone. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I got a question, and maybe you could answer this, because nobody seems to have an answer for me. when we calculate the deficit every year,
yeah,
and they say, well, you know, it was $200 billion last year or whatever they come up with.
Right.
And then you look at our national debt, and the national debt started out $5.3 trillion when this whole thing came to office in 2000. Now we're up to $9 and rising.
Yeah.
Okay, you take that, and you've got between six, if you want to say even 7 years, divide that seven into the difference, and
Steve,
is under $500 billion.
Steve, let me cut in here with some fuzzy math for you. There is not actually a direct connection between the annual deficit that is reported in the media and the amount of the federal debt. Because, see, a lot of borrowing
Our debt. It's not the federal debt. Okay.
Well, whatever you want to call it. But the debt is comprised, for example, of bonds that we sell, various treasury notes that we sell, like largely to the Chinese and the Saudis right now. And so a lot of the borrowing that, you know, adds up
but
to the...
But who's responsible for paying
on,
back
Steve.
That borrowing?
Steve, the borrowing that adds up to what is now almost $10 trillion
right.
in federal debt, in U.S. debt,
right.
Is comprised only in part by the deficit from the annual federal budget. So you can't just add up the deficit since Bush has been in office and say that's the amount that the federal debt has increased. It's much more than that because we have been borrowing from Social Security. We have been borrowing through the sale, as I said, of bonds and treasury notes. And so, again, a lot of that borrowing is not necessarily connected to the amount of money that's in the general fund and the deficits that run based on the amount spent and the amount coming in.
Oh, so Social Security is included.
It is in some bookkeeping.
I thought it was separate.
It's included in some bookkeeping, but it's not necessarily...
No, I mean the national debt.
It's not necessarily part of that $10 trillion.
Oh, God help us. Bye-bye.
Yep. Gotta go. Thanks. I think we've confused everybody. Math is kind of heavy for the radio. So give me a call if you'd like to talk about that or anything else. Line's open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the free speech zone for this entire hour, so give me a call.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest and get you folks caught up to date. Starting off with, let's take a look at a problem still being reported in Live Oak, Soquel Avenue at Soquel Drive. Left turn lane is blocked. The reason, a stalled vehicle. Santa Cruz, southbound 17, the ramp to South 1. Still have a crash with two cars on the shoulder there. And CHP pretty much wrapping up things there. Also want to take a look at, looks like no problems in Monterey, Salinas checking in with no problems as well. Also would like to mention that in Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at M-Line, the avenue off-ramp there, we do have road construction there, and that will be till the summer of 2008. Also would like to take a look at another road construction problem in Salinas, south 101 at North Main. Construction there, the off-ramp closed.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Dennis Kucinich has raised the question, is George W. Bush crazy? Has he lost his mind, his faculties, if he had them? Here's a quote from Congressman Kucinich. I seriously believe we have to start asking questions about the mental health of George W. Bush. There's something wrong. He does not seem to understand that his words have real impact. He's referring to Bush's comments about avoiding World War III by attacking Iran. And so, on a serious level, I put the question to you. Do you have questions about the mental health of this president? Justin Frank is a Washington, D.C. psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, and he published a book back in 03 or 04 called Bush on the Couch. And we've interviewed Dr. Frank a couple of times, and he makes a persuasive case that Bush really is not in touch with reality, and from what we know, Justin Frank has never examined the president in person. He made his evaluation based on public statements, press accounts, and what we know about the president. But I'd like to hear your thoughts today. The Free Speech Zone is here for you. Lines are open for the rest of this hour. And what is your take on the mental state of this president? And is Dennis Kucinich trying to score some cheap campaign points and get some publicity? Or do you consider this to be a sincere question? The Democrats are gathering in Philadelphia. In fact, the debate is underway. It'll be broadcast on MSNBC, I think, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time. At least that's one feed of it that will be available. And we expect that John Edwards and Barack Obama are going to get much tougher on Hillary Clinton in this exchange. It'll be interesting to see if that occurs. But is this Kucinich trying to get a little extra traction, trying to get some attention in the debate? Or do you think that it is a fair question and something that we shouldn't just sweep off the table out of a sense of politeness or fear of, being charged with, a campaign attack? So lines open for you, 888-5, Peter B. Let me know what you think about that or anything else that's in the news and on your mind, 888-573-8372. Jake in Eureka. Welcome, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, this is just another reason why Dennis Kucinich is going to get my vote for president. He's one of the few national politicians who just says it like it is, and anybody who's been paying any attention to George W. Bush over the course of his presidency knows the man's a sociopath. He clearly does not care about others. He does not feel other people's pain. He'd like to call himself a compassionate conservative back in 2000, but George W. Bush is the exact opposite of a compassionate conservative. And this is a guy who can slash health care for poor kids and not think twice about it, Peter B.
Well, and consider the irony just of the bookends, if you will, of his veto of the S-CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Bill.
He demanded another $45 billion on top of the $150 billion that he's currently demanding for the next phase of the occupation of Iraq. And we don't even know how long that money will last. We thought that he got enough money for the, you know, in May to last through the end of the year. And no, no, they're back asking for more. And then with Charlie Rangel's plan to fix the alternative minimum tax and essentially roll back a few of the tax cuts for the very rich that Bush imposed in the first term. We're now hearing that, oh, the Democrats want to impose the largest tax increase in American history, and Republicans are against tax increases. And, you know, the priorities here are so skewed. We'll spend endless amounts to kill people, including Americans, in Iraq, and we won't spend modest amounts to insure children for health care in this country.
Well, exactly. And even Warren Buffett, of all people, he was interviewed last night on NBC News, and he made the point that if you look at his tax rate, you know, he's like the third most rich, you know, person in the country, or if not the world, and Warren Buffett pays 17%. That's his tax rate. His secretary pays 32%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we're going to update the tax system and make it fair, the simple fact is that the rich in America are going to have to pay their fair share.
Oh, we can't do that, Jake. That would be un-American, anti-capitalist, socialist, communist.
It would be democratic.
Thank you, Jake. More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line and we'll talk. It's the Free Speech Zone at 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
How many times have you bumped up against a belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist Dr. Debbie Lindquist and world-renowned life coach, journalist Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome here in the free speech zone. We pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It is not necessary to thank Mr. Collins for taking your call. It's also not necessary to call me Mr. I have no idea what this song is about, but I love the beat and I love the groove. Billy Sunshine, Capitola, you're up next in the free speech zone. Hi.
Thanks for being such a great guy.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
But yeah, you're paid to take my call.
That's right.
All right. Just be clear about that.
We have our roles defined.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over a couple of things quickly. First of all, on Gravel.
Right.
Seems to me he's like an American hero. Didn't he read in the Pentagon Papers into the...
He did? Yes, he did. He used the after-hours sessions to essentially read Daniel Ellsberg's purloined documents into the Senate congressional record.
So he's a bit of an American hero, isn't he?
I would say so, yes.
So, in fact, he's earned his place in there, whether he has $1 million or not. I'm insulted.
It is offensive when it comes down to that, and it's very interesting the way Gregory V. Chase has stepped forward. I have no idea what his personal wealth is, but he seems to be able to flick off $1 million the way you and I reach for a 20. And in that case, the money doesn't mean that much to him, and it's an independent expenditure, so if Gravel actually won, he might feel grateful to Mr. Chase for investing his personal fortune in the campaign. But it's not like open bribery or even the kind of bundling of campaign contributions that allows, the Bush pioneers to have raised, millions of dollars in contributions that exceed the limits for individual contributions.
Yep. Let's talk rhetoric for a second.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the Many Children Left to Die Act, or should we refer to it as the Many Families Forced into Bankruptcy Act?
You know, I heard Tom Hartman quibbling over the name of S-CHIP. He wanted to rename it the Healthy Kids Act or something like that. And I understand that, but to me, what S-CHIP stands for is State Children's Health Insurance Program, and that's actually an honest name for legislation, which is pretty rare in Washington now. Orwell writes it all.
Right, but the lack of legislation I want to call Many Children Left to Die. That's the Bush policy.
It is.
You know, and many families forced into bankruptcy. That's the Republican policy. And I prefer socialized medicine to the anti-social medicine we have today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about those three sort of rhetorical challenges to the right?
Well, number one, we're going to see there's a Rudy Giuliani radio commercial. It was on TV last night. And he opens by saying that he got prostate cancer and, you know, he went and paid bundles of money and got it, got the surgery and everything's fine. And he said that in Canada it takes X number of days to get a prostate operation, and in Britain it's even longer.
Actually, also I heard that he says something like, you have 82% chance of living with prostate in America, but only 40% of survival in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
And I don't know. You know, it's coming from Rudy Giuliani, so
exactly.
I'd say not likely. And it's in a campaign commercial where, you know, there's no fact checking. Newspapers sometimes will run a story and evaluate a commercial, but as you know, under our free speech rules, there is no vetting for honesty and accuracy of any of the claims made in political advertisements.
So maybe it's time to have that lady on from the University of Pennsylvania who does that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Remind me of her name.
I won't be able to do that.
Catherine.
Now you're really asking for way too much.
It's Catherine or Kathleen.
See, you're great.
I'll think of it, and we'll invite her.
All right.
Okay, Billy, thanks for the call.
You bet, bud.
Let's see who's on line two here as I click to my instant messenger and scroll for Dave in the Pinnacles, my man. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how you doing, Peter?
You know, I don't know how often you listen and how often you've heard me quote you. But
I'm sorry I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, a couple of weeks back, you called in, and you know how it works. Brian answers the phone. He puts a little message up here on the screen for me. But you didn't actually get on the air that day. But the message you left was that I keep saying that the Democrats get buffaloed and that you don't believe that.
I recall. Hey, you know what? To apply that to your conversation you just had with Billy Sunshine, here we have the medical industry, you know, crying uncle, oh, it just costs so much and it's so hard to do all this stuff. And then I've got a niece waiting like 2 years to get into a nursing school. So it just shows you, you know, and there would be plenty of doctors and nurses around if they'd spend a few bucks and open up some schools. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's
and we are spending, you know, so much of we spend more on health care and get less. And the reason is that we have a for-profit delivery system, in particular the insurance companies, who take our money and then deny us coverage.
Well, that's why they want to limit service. That's why they don't want to have all these nursing schools and doctor's schools opened up, because then the supply would open up and the prices would drop. You know,
Dave, I would take issue with that, because I think that they know that they need employees in order to keep the whole system going so that they can gouge us and deny us service. But, you know, their game is to play the spread, to get those nurses and other healthcare workers to work as cheaply as possible so they can gouge us and pocket the difference.
Hey, what I wanted to comment on was we're closing in on another year. And we are still waiting for the forensic report from the collapse of Building Number 7 by NIST, you know, the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Right.
What a laugh those people are. And it just, you know, what I wanted to say, Peter, was what amazes me is how many people, here we are, witnessing the greatest engineering failure of the thousand years or whatever, and nobody's interested to find out why it happened. I mean, what... It's just amazing.
Well, Dave, a couple of things on that. One is my emails have been getting more frequent from some of the 9/11 truth activists.
Good.
And many of them, there's a report out, and I haven't been able to run it down and confirm it, that serious questions have arisen about the NIST reports, particularly related to Building 7. And that, at least in one email, and again, I can't vouch for the total credibility of this, but it was indicated that NIST has acknowledged that they cannot defend the theories that they previously advanced. The other thing I'll tell you is that there's a man named William Rodriguez.
I told you about him.
Well, expect him on the show either tomorrow or Thursday. He is in the San Francisco area this week, and he is at an event at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland on Thursday at 7 p.m. And he is going to be appearing in Eureka and, I believe, Arcata next week. So we're still working on the final details, but I expect to have him on the show tomorrow.
Hey, I just can tell people he's a very compelling speaker. I saw him on C-SPAN. You might be able to download it. He's very compelling. and he's a, just a, he's a fantastic. He saved so many people. He had the master key to the fire stairwell, and all the doors were locked, and he went up as far as he could, man, unlocked the door so people could get out. Mm-hmm. He's a real hero, that guy, man. And when you see the picture, if you ever can go to C-SPAN and see the picture, he was actually, they pulled out this fire truck out with a crane, and William Rodriguez was underneath it.
Wow.
I mean, he got out of that building. It was just like some kind of a, like a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, he's just fantastic.
All right, well, be listening tomorrow, and if he's not on tomorrow, I'll make an announcement about what time we expect him on Thursday.
That's fantastic. Thanks a lot.
You bet, Dave. Good to hear from you. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Joe.
Yeah, well, set your mind at ease about whether or not 9/11 was an inside job by the Bush Leaguers. Bill Clinton swears to God that there's no way, no way in hell that 9/11 could have been an inside job by the Bush Leaguers, that the whole theory concept is completely ridiculous. It's completely asinine. Bill Clinton, a good friend of the Clintons, and of course he's the husband of Hillary, good friend of Rupert Murdoch, they swear that the whole thing is ridiculous and asinine. You don't need to give it a second thought. So don't interview this William Rodriguez or get any of this stuff about September 11th. Any notion whatsoever.
Joe, are you using reverse psychology on your humble host?
No, actually, I don't know what I'm doing.
Or are you using irony? Because, of course, it was outlawed shortly after 9/11. And we'll have Homeland Security goons at your house. Oh, about 20 minutes if you can just stand by.
Oh, okay.
You can have dinner first.
I'm glad you gave me the heads up. I wasn't even thinking about that. But no, I mean, you should have seen the clip of Bill Clinton responding to the 9/11 trooper and Bill O'Reilly going, right on, Bill Clinton, you're such a great guy.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Joe. I don't know if you watch HBO, but Bill Maher has a show on Friday nights. I'm pretty regular with it.
Oh, I heard about the Bill Maher.
And he had Chris Matthews on there, and I don't remember who the other guests were, actually. But a heckler in the audience started screaming about 9/11. And, of course, Bill Maher has dissed and dismissed all of the people who raised those questions, like you and me. And so he was enraged, and he ran off the stage into the audience. The camera followed him as he personally helped push this heckler, this screamer, along with some security guys, out of the auditorium.
Well,
and
you know,
I think it was
amazing. The mainstream media, the rest of the time, they act like that show doesn't even exist.
Well, but I think it's really interesting because Maher prides himself on Mr. Politically Incorrect, on asking the kinds of questions that other people won't or don't. And I have to say that I'm as disappointed in Bill as I am in Matthew Rothschild and others who have, presumably come from the left or at least not from the right and cannot face these questions. And it boggles my mind that people who have otherwise appropriate skepticism about the clear lies that were fed on a regular basis swallow this one hook, line, sinker, and a big fish.
Well, you know, you should go ahead and take a look at that Bill O'Reilly segment yesterday, because there's this so-called Democratic Party strategist, Kristen Powers. She always gets on the O'Reilly factor. And O'Reilly starts on with his nonsense and his so-called Democratic Party strategist. She more or less always agrees with Bill O'Reilly. And wouldn't you know it, she started, not only did she start pounding on Cynthia McKinney, she started pounding on Ron Paul. Why, you know, because it's these 9/11 people, they support Ron Paul and all that. Why would it be necessary to bring Ron Paul into the discussion? You know, there's something going on here. These people, the elitists running things, they're actually afraid of Ron Paul. Some of these Democrats got just as much of an interest in shutting down the Ron Paul Maverick campaign as the Republicans obviously do.
You got it. Joe, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Now to Russ in Folsom, listening to KSAC 1240 Talk City. Hi, Russ.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
The name is Kathleen Hall Jamison.
There we go. Thank you for...
At Annenberg School.
Yeah.
At the University of Pennsylvania. I've met Kathleen. She is absolutely wonderful.
All right. I'm making a note right now. Go ahead.
I would also describe her as a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Spent time with her and worked at some conferences with her, and she is superb.
Well, hey, do you have an email for her that you could pass along to me?
I don't. I do right here. I'm sitting in my, actually, I'm standing in my shop.
Okay.
So it's not a place where I could grab that. But, yeah, Peter, I'd be glad to get one to you.
Okay, you know, my email's peter@peterbcollins.com.
Absolutely, I know.
Okay, and Russ, I'm sorry to do this to you, but we need to take a break so we can get some traffic reports on our stations. Can you hold, and we'll come back to you right after the break?
Traffic reports are more important than, sure, I can wait.
Thank you, sir. We'll take a quick break and return. 888-5-PETER-B is your access to the free speed zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on JoeRombi.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
All right, and traffic really matters, especially for you folks driving home tonight. Let's give you the very latest. And let's see, CHP was telling us about a little problem. It was in, as we update everything here, Prunedale, north, southbound 101 before 156. We have an injury crash. It's a car and a big rig. Now, the left lane is blocked at this point. In fact, we have fire department units, paramedics there, along with CHP. Then we travel on over to Greenfield. Looks like southbound 101 right at Walnut Avenue. Heads up, there's a grass fire. It's actually burning on the shoulder of the off-ramp. The fire department is on the way to the scene. So that is the good news. Hopefully it's not too bad as of right now. So Watsonville, southbound one, Highway 152, getting word of a crash there. Two vehicles blocking lanes. CHP on the way to the scene there.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, the free speed zone, 9 minutes in front of the hour. Now that we got you your traffic reports, we can return to much more important things. Russ is there in Folsom, where I always take the East Bidwell Street exit to go see my friend Ed Zeppelin.
Oh, cute. Cute. And he caught my we'll leave it at that.
All right, Russ.
Let me make a quick stipulation. She had Tom Hartman on last night.
Yep.
In the first stipulation, I generally agree with Tom's worldview and his approach to issues. And secondly, I'm going to stipulate that he is widely regarded, in my view, and someone who watches media very closely.
Your stipulations are accepted.
He is widely regarded as the most intellectual, or perhaps one of the most intellectual of all the folks who appear on talk radio that would be considered left or liberal to mm-hmm. the extent we actually have that in our country.
You're right.
But he made three errors last night that I think were egregious. Now we can play with egregious. Are they egregious because he just made terrible errors, or are they egregious because someone could pick them up and say, you're wrong?
All right.
You didn't do that.
Give me an example.
The first was he said, and this is pretty simple one. He said, the Leviathan was written like in 1633 or 34. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it was written in 1651.
Okay.
And for someone as studied as himself, he should actually know that date. He shouldn't advance a date if he doesn't really know it.
Okay.
And not that 17 years is particularly important, but that was an error. The second one was about Benjamin Franklin. He said, well, he was in his 80s when he signed the Declaration of Independence. No, he was 70. And he was, 81 when he signed the Constitution. And he died in 1790 at age 84. And again, these are not, you understand my differentiation between egregious and egregious. But the third one was that he said, and this was really interesting to me, about the election of senators.
Uh-huh.
First, he didn't know that it was the 17th Amendment in 1913. He said, well, I think it was somewhere around 1960. Okay, and that's all right. But it was 1913 that the amendment was adopted. It was proposed in 1912. And the Constitution is very specific. And it says, the legislatures thereof shall elect. So never have we elected a senator without the confirmation of the legislatures of the states. And he suggested that. And he was accurate but inaccurate. He suggested that governors, if mm-hmm. you recall this last night, governors yeah. sometimes appointed them, caucuses appointed them. Well, that's probably true that it was the case that a caucus may have persuaded the legislature, and it's possible that a governor may have persuaded, but the legislature had to vote. The other thing is that it's true that governors do appoint for interim.
That's true.
Senators.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, Russ, let me wrap this up because I need to take another call before I run out of
sure,
time.
Sure.
My point to you is I think you are correct. And I would like you and Tom to be my lifelines the next time I get a history question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I don't want to do that. What
no,
I'm
but
saying is,
I understand your point, and I'm one of those people who doesn't offer, say, a specific historical citation if I can't nail it. And sometimes I'm a little vague that way because, this show is done completely unscripted. I've got notes in front of me. I got newspaper clippings. But when it comes to history, particularly that goes back more than, say, 40 years, I do not consider myself to be an expert. And I either prep or I don't say it. So,
well, I think those are good choices. My point is, and it's a really sublime point, and I hope you take it, Peter, that if you make those kinds of errors, then you allow whoever might oppose your position, point of view, attitude. And Tom's positions are, I think, on balance, rather superb.
Mm-hmm.
You set yourself up for a critique that dismantles you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing to know. And Tom just played off the cuff last night, and I wasn't impressed.
All right. Well, I appreciate your comment, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Russ. Thanks for the call today. Now to Nick in Arcata. Hello, Nick. You get the final word tonight on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All right. I'm batting cleanup here.
Yes, you are.
I have found some information I thought kind of interesting. You can mark on your calendar that July 2006 was peak oil. Ever since that date, we have either stayed steady or declined. And prior to that, we slowly crept up to it. So it's been 16 months since we've pumped more than that out of the ground,
mm-hmm.
and I think we've actually hit it. And you don't hear about it in the news or anything, but I'm hoping maybe one of your listeners can prove me wrong.
Well, rather than prove you wrong, what I would say is that there may be an interesting indicator in that the price of crude on the spot market is now over $90 a barrel.
Well, they're blaming it on a lot of different things, but I think the real truth is, we're just running out of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was going to happen, but, you know, everybody was indicating 2010, 2012. But it looks to me like there's only two or three fields that are increasing, and the rest of them are a steady state or in decline.
Well, I'm not an expert on this, and I don't want Russ to catch me in an error. But
well,
you
maybe
know,
he could give us some information.
there's a lot of there are a lot of oil fields in Iraq that have been identified but have not been drilled.
Agreed.
And so, what I can't specify.
But can they make up for Mexico, and can they make up for Saudi Arabia's? You know, if you read Twilight in the Desert. You know, there's most of the oil fields are in steady state or in decline.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we're going to run out of oil tomorrow. I think we hit peak, and you could just mark that on your calendar.
All right. Nick, thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate it. I want to thank everybody who called the program today. I want to thank our great guests. I'm particularly impressed with Adrian Levy, the co-author of this new book about Pakistan called Deception. He's a British journalist who joined us in the first hour today. And if you didn't get to catch that, go to peterbcollins.com, and later tonight the podcast will be available for you. And you don't have to podcast it if you're not an iPod person, but you can listen to it online or download the file. And the link is there at peterbcollins.com. I really think that Adrian Levy had a lot of interesting things to say, and there's much more in the book that we didn't have time for on the program today. So thanks again for joining us. Thanks to all the people who called. And what do you say we meet back here same time, same stations, tomorrow for another edition...
Happy trails to you...
...of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
If you own a classic car... or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. After so many discoveries of lead in toys from China, almost everyone in Washington agrees that the government's watchdog agency needs more people and more money. But CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports a big fight has broken out over how to go about it.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other top Democrats are calling for the resignation of Nancy Nord, acting head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, who's opposing congressional efforts to give her agency more staff and power to crack down on dangerous toys, including millions with lead paint imported from China. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid.
I don't know what planet this woman's living on.
Nord, who came to the consumer agency from the business world, is backed by the White House, which also opposes congressional bills to put more teeth into the agency that's supposed to keep products safe. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Retired Lieutenant General James Peake has been called back to service.
It's a high honor indeed.
President Bush has tapped the former Army Surgeon General to be Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Peake knows he has challenges.
The disability system is largely a 1945 product, 1945 processes, around a 1945 family unit. About everybody that has studied it recently said it is time to do some revisions.
Democrats in Congress have been pressing the president to find a replacement for Jim Nicholson, who stepped down at the beginning of the month. Lung disease has claimed Robert Goulet. The singer died today at a Los Angeles hospital where he'd been waiting for a lung transplant. He was 73. CBS News correspondent Nick Young looks back.
To dream the impossible dream.
Robert Goulet's career was a dream come true. For more than half a century, he performed on stage, on screen, and on records, winning a Grammy, a Tony, and an Emmy. He was considered one of the greatest baritones of his time. To quote one review from the 1960s, Goulet's virile attractiveness, stunning showmanship, and magnificently rich voice combined to produce an impact on audiences that can be likened only to the matinee idols of the 1920s. Goulet continued performing till the end of his life. "Why stop now," he said, "when I'm just getting the hang of it." Nick Young, CBS News.
A debate among the Democratic presidential hopefuls is just getting underway in Philadelphia. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive takes a look at the race.
Hillary Clinton is far ahead in opinion polls, except, interestingly, in Iowa, where it's close.